Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now a follow-up from the climate event I hosted on Saturday night here in the city. It featured a number of prominent liberal or progressive writers and activists like Naomi Klein and Chris Hedges and Bill McKibben. But the star of the night was undoubtedly Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, who described why he might run against Hillary Clinton in the Democratic presidential primaries. But why not as the independent or socialist politician that he is? We'll hear Sanders in a minute. But before Sanders spoke about his presidential ambitions, Shama Savant, a city councilwoman from Seattle and one of the few socialist elected officials in the country, offered this thought exercise.
Just for a moment, let us imagine the impact of a well-known and credible independent left challenger of the stature of Bernie running as a challenge to the two parties of big business in the 2016 elections.
Running as a challenge to the two parties. She wasn't proposing that he run in the Democratic primaries. So what is the role of the left wing of the Democratic Party now and in 2016? And why haven't we seen more candidates from the progressive wing either break out and run on third-party tickets or pull the party itself to the left? Joan Walsh, editor-at-large for Salon, still with us. She's also an MSNBC commentator. John Stanton, D.C. bureau chief for BuzzFeed, also still with us. And let's play this one more clip. Bernie Sanders, this is about a minute and a half. He spoke right after Shama Savant, and here's how he followed up on her urging.
Here's the issue, as I see it. Can we, in fact, put together an effective grassroots third-party movement in America? And it's... And the answer is, maybe. And the answer is, maybe not. Chris talked about somebody I've known for many years, Ralph Nader. And I remember Ralph. Ralph is an old friend, brilliant guy who has done enormous things for this country. But I remember during his campaign, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, Ralph got up and said, there's no difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. We need a new party. Didn't happen. Point being, only point that I'm making here, number one, if I run, I want to run an effective and strong campaign. I don't want to run just an educational campaign, because if you run an educational campaign and you get 2% of the vote, in my view, we end up being all of the ideas that we are talking about, which I think reflects where millions of people are in. We look bad. It's a step backward. So one of the issues that I have got to make is there support around this country for people to stand up and get involved in the political process in a way that we have not seen in modern American history. And that is, to be very honest with you, exactly what I am exploring right now. So thank you.
Bernie Sanders, Senator Bernie Sanders at the All Souls Unitarian Church on the Upper East Side on Saturday night. And John Stanton, D.C. bureau chief for BuzzFeed. Were you surprised there how easily this lifelong political independent threw cold water on the idea of running as an independent third-party candidate?
No, I think, you know, look, Senator Sanders is a pretty realistic guy, I think. And I think, you know, in Vermont, it sort of works for him to run as an independent without, like, an official party affiliation. But, you know, in the rest of the country, it's just not a very viable possibility. You know, I don't think that anyone looked at Ralph Nader's campaign or anything else short of like a really well self-funded person like, you know, say Ross Perot, who's ever really been able to pull it off of late. And I think he understands that. You know, I think the more interesting thing is that he sees, in my mind, that there are enough disaffected progressives and liberals within the Democratic Party to make it worth his while trying to run against Hillary.
And I guess no surprise, Joan Walsh, that he mentioned Ralph Nader by name. I'm sure he's really cowed, and appropriately so, by the memory of 2000, where, you know, if you look at what happened in Florida and how many votes Ralph Nader got in Florida, if you presume that all those votes would have gone to Al Gore, history might have been very different.
Yeah, history would have been very different. And I think, you know, the chagrin people feel is coupled by what Senator Sanders said, that, you know, Ralph Nader also went around saying there was no difference between the parties. And we know that there is. Look, what I love about Bernie Sanders is that he is very pragmatic. He has always caucused with the Democratic Party. One of the reasons I think that the left in this country is so much weaker than the right is that the left is shattered. It's been shattered for a long time. And you have a lot of people who have pronounced the Democrats, you know, just another party of business, and they spend their energies as they are entitled to. You know, people are not compelled to be Democrats, but they spend their energies either trying to build third parties, which I think is a waste of time because we don't have proportional representation in this country. So the only thing a third party does is strip votes away from the party it's closest to. So Ralph Nader took from Al Gore, and Ross Perot took from George H.W. Bush. So, you know, so people go into third parties. You had in Occupy Wall Street, people hoped that that would be the Democrats' Tea Party, but a lot of Occupy Wall Street people really wanted nothing to do with electoral politics, or if they did, they wanted it to be through a third or fourth or fifth party. And so this is a structural weakness in the Democratic Party, that there isn't this, you know, large group on the left that's trying to essentially take it over and pull it to the left. But you have a Bernie Sanders who's always devoted himself to doing that, and now you have Elizabeth Warren, you have Sherrod Brown, you have some figures that are finally, you know, engaging for the soul of the party, and I think he wants to be part of that.
So, listeners, do you want to see Bernie Sanders run in the Democratic primaries, presumably against Hillary Clinton? Do you want to see Bernie Sanders run as an independent third-party candidate for president? Either, neither, both of the above, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And I guess, John Stanton, if you think the Tea Party could be used as an analogy here, they've certainly pulled the GOP to the right, but the Tea Party never really threatened to mount a third-party challenge, right?
No, they never did. And you know, they're also very much more of an ideologically based movement, whereas, you know, as Joe was saying, you know, the part of the problem, I think, for the left is that you have environmentalists, you have labor, you have folks that are doing civil rights, and they very rarely sort of come all together in under one rubric, whereas, you know, the Tea Party was able to be this sort of big, broad, you know, small government type thing that really hit on any number of different issues, and it was able to recreate some of the sort of political mojo that, say, the Christian right was able to bring in the 80s and 90s to the Republican Party. And, you know, that has been, I think, a benefit to the Republicans, whereas Democrats have never really had this sort of overarching philosophical notion that brings a lot of disparate and oftentimes oppositional groups together under one flag.
And a lot of this comes in the context of challenging Hillary Clinton from the left. And I wonder if you think, other than Senator Sanders, John, is it basically Elizabeth Warren or Sanders or nobody? Joan mentioned Sherrod Brown from Ohio. Who makes up the progressive leadership of the Democratic Party at this point? And do you expect Elizabeth Warren to run against Clinton in the Democratic primaries?
No, I don't expect Warren to run. I think that there are a lot of people who would love to see her run, but I think that, you know, she has made it fairly clear that she doesn't want to. I don't think that she would take a fight directly to Hillary Clinton like that. And, you know, I think, though, that the question of who is the leader of the progressive wing within the party is actually kind of a unknown right now, because while Warren is sort of the leader of that, she isn't willing to sort of go head-to-head with the mainstream of the party, folks like Hillary Clinton or others, and or Harry Reid, people like that, that she may not necessarily have agreement on a lot of these big key issues. There isn't somebody, I think, that is willing to step up and have like a real fight with her. I think that if Bernie Sanders does run, it's going to be less about him fighting with her and more about him, you know, promoting a lot of these ideas. It's what he did with his filibuster of a couple of years ago, that kind of a thing. I don't see him, you know, going out and really taking it to the moderates within the party.
Joan, same question about the leadership of the progressive wing on and out. You know, we can say in New York it's Bill de Blasio and it's pretty clear. What about nationally?
Well, you know, I think there are different kinds of leaders. I think Elizabeth Warren is certainly one, and I think what's interesting, one of the things that's interesting about her, like John, I don't think she's going to run. I think she wants to be the Ted Kennedy of the Senate. I think she wants to be an effective senator. And so, right, that does not mean, you know, she stands up to Harry Reid. She votes differently. She votes, she certainly uses her vote to articulate her different point of view and her different issues. But she's not looking to show people up or topple leadership at this point. I mean, maybe down the road, but she's looking to be an effective senator. She realizes that, you know, she could be a lifetime senator from Massachusetts, as Senator Kennedy was. She can be a voice for liberalism or progressivism, and she can play a real role in the national dialogue. You know, I think Sherrod Brown's wonderful. I just, you know, I haven't seen him try to play that role. Maybe his name comes up more and more, so maybe, you know, he'll start to think about it. I think Bernie Sanders could be that person in 2016. You know, there's Martin O'Malley, and I don't want to write him off. He's certainly on issues of immigration, he might be to the left of the party. He's you know, been more progressive, I would argue, than President Obama on that issue. But he's likely to run. But I think somebody who's really going to motivate that base that wants a challenge to Hillary Clinton, I think Bernie Sanders is the best person at this point, is the person that I see who's capable of doing that and doing it in a way that he does take it to her, but he doesn't try to, you know, destroy the party over it.
Tim on Roosevelt Island, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tim.
How are you doing?
Okay.
Well, I look at the idea of a third party, but, you know, this. I think the one problem that nags at me, I remember when Robert was running for president, and an interviewer asked him a question: why are you only running for president? Why don't you build it up from the bottom? Start with the local offices and have a clientele to build up. We're looking for an instantaneous quick pass now, but I would figure something like a third party would need 20,
right,
30 years to build up.
Right. It's a great, Tim, I'm going to move on and get some other voices on, but it's a really great point. I mean, I raise that at the local level, too, when sometimes we'll have the Green Party candidate for governor of New York, Howie Hawkins, on the show soon, and they always get a little publicity around those gubernatorial elections, but where are the city council member campaigns from the Green Party? Where are the state legislature campaigns building it up and not just running the symbolic candidates in the big races? And so that's a legitimate question to ask Bernie Sanders. KB in Newark, you're on WNYC. Hello, KB.
Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Good. What do you think?
All right. Well, me personally, as all of the field of people who I believe might be running, as far as, like, you know, straight Democrats go, I'm pretty sure Hillary is the best option. But if Bernie Sanders were to run as a Democrat, I would consider, like the Republicans have rhinos, I would consider him, well, I guess a Dino, a Democrat in name only, because I've seen his independent views, and I would choose him over Hillary hands down, because he has made it simple and plain stated that he will go after the things that I, as a progressive, am looking for our president to go after.
What are those main things for you that you think would distinguish him on the issues from Clinton?
Number one, he is not a war hawk. Hillary Clinton is just as much a war hawk as George W. Bush. When it becomes politically untenable, then she backs off. Up until that point, she's ready to go at any point in time, and I personally don't like that. Bernie Sanders isn't like that, and I appreciate that very much. And on the environment, like, I mean, the Clintons still make money off of fossil fuels. Bernie Sanders doesn't. And he has said over and over again, we need to confront the problem so that we can change the way in America, become the leader in green energy and renewable resources.
KB, thank you very much. So, Joan Walsh, to that point, you know, especially on war, we were talking earlier about what President Obama is doing now in Syria when we took his remarks live regarding the airstrikes overnight. Where is Hillary Clinton on this? And do you think that even though there might be a debate with the Bernie Sanders, hypothetically, in a Democratic primary season, how do you think she's setting herself up relative to whoever the Republican candidate is? I guess if it's Rand Paul, she'll be the bigger hawk.
Right.
What if it's somebody more conventional?
Right. I mean, what we really don't know. The Republican side is just so fluid that she could be the hawk or she could be the, you know, she could be facing down a, you know, Marco Rubio turned neocon. We really don't know yet. So But I, you know, to follow up on what the caller said, I think the thing about Bernie Sanders is that he is not afraid to put forward a really progressive, you know, certainly he's more less hawkish on foreign policy and on domestic politics. You know, he's not afraid to go after the banks. There are questions about, you know, would she be tough enough on the banks, or is she too close to Wall Street? He wants to expand Social Security, not cut it back, not raise the retirement age and all that, you know, neoliberal, centrist, Simpson Bowles stuff that you know, President Obama himself was a part of. He's willing to talk about a higher tax rate, you know, to get back to the country that we were when we built the middle class and the 40s and 50s and 60s and early 70s, we're going to have higher marginal tax rates on the wealthy. We've got a lot more super wealthy people, and Bernie Sanders isn't afraid of that. Maybe Hillary Clinton isn't either, but I certainly haven't heard that from her. So,
hey, John Stanton from BuzzFeed, why doesn't Lindsey Graham run for president? Why don't we ever hear his name? Here's a guy who is a leader on national security. He's got his military background. He's got some bipartisan credibility. He reaches across the aisle for things. He's a very good speaker. If John McCain ran, you know, sort of for his generation from that position, why aren't we hearing Lindsey Graham?
Well, I think partly because, frankly, the Republican Party is not particularly prepared for somebody who's willing to reach across the aisle on a presidential level, certainly. I don't think they could get through the primary. But I think, honestly, Lindsey Graham probably looks at his reelection every 6 years in South Carolina.
And he was just reelected, right?
He's going to be, yeah. And I think he looks at that and says, you know, there but by the grace of God. And so just I'm going to keep my head down and do my thing here. But I certainly wouldn't put it past him being something he considers maybe especially if, say, Hillary Clinton were to win in 2016 in a challenge to her. I could see him considering that.
Paul in Denville, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Bernie Sanders?
Yeah, big fan. Big fan of Bernie Sanders, and the people you've had on speaking just before me have pretty much given voice to all the things that he speaks for. You know, a real progressive that's been doing it for a long time and really speaks his mind and gives voice to the issues. What, you know, the non-hawkishness on the economy and why it's the way it is and what the solutions are. To me, he's like what a lot of us wanted Obama to be and turned out not really to be. That's kind of the way I'm looking at it.
Paul, thank you very much. And I wonder, Joan Walsh, from a general election standpoint, if Clinton has a challenger from the left like Bernie Sanders in the Democratic primaries, and presumably she still wins the nomination fairly easily, does it help her go against the Republican in swing states? I think it's funny. She was, you know, that liberal Hillary Clinton in the 90s and in the early 2000s until the Democratic primary season in 2008, where somehow she emerged from that fracas as, you know, the moderate white hope as far as certain swaths of America are concerned. So maybe she emerges again from a primary season against Bernie Sanders as this moderate, relatively fiscally conservative, relatively hawkish on national security candidate, and it really helps her win the presidency in the swing states. Could that happen?
Yeah, I actually think that could happen. I also think that, you know, she became a better candidate. President Obama became a better candidate because they had some competition in 2008. They were much sharper at the end of the primary season. He was much sharper going into the general election with John McCain, so that's a good thing. I think the only downside for her would be if she didn't come up with enough answers that, you know, accepted the Bernie Sanders view of the world and you know, came closer to it. If she really missed her moment when it comes to issues of economic populism and left people or foreign policy, because I think that's going to matter more than it has for a while, and left people in the Democratic base feeling really underwhelmed and like they're going to sit on their hands that November, that would be a disaster. I don't think that has to be an outcome of this. I think the more you can get people on the left really engaged in the party and then let them know, as I'm sure Bernie Sanders would, that it's time to support Hillary Clinton, and then we're going to go again in 2020, and we're going to have another progressive. Don't drop out, don't stay home, fight the good fight, and then unite with your party. I think it could be a great thing for her, actually.
Hey, John Stanton, one last question before you go. What's the buzz at BuzzFeed about the political impact, if any, of the 300,000 people who marched through Manhattan on Sunday for climate change policy?
Well, I think, while climate change is certainly a big issue and it's an important issue, I don't think it's going to have much of an impact certainly this year and probably not for several years until you have the rise again of Republicans who are willing to address it and take it on as a serious issue and not sort of as something that they're going to argue doesn't exist. George Bush seemed to have done sort of wonders, frankly, for that movement by coming out and acknowledging that humans were causing climate change, that this was something we needed to deal with. And sort of since Obama came into power, it really has collapsed again back on itself. And you now have the Republican Party has swung very much to the right on the issue. And, until the public is really fully engaged on the issue, which is tough because it's not something that really they see as impacting them on a day-to-day basis. So there's not this sense of crisis. I'm not sure how that calculus changes.
Joan, any more optimistic take from a movement standpoint on what organizing and marching and shouting meant?
Yeah, look, I agree with John that the real problem is, reaching Republicans and getting them to, go back to things they believed 6 years ago. That would be progress. Progress would be going backwards in that case. But here's what I think was important. And John referred before to the fact that, environmentalism had left some people cold, and the Democratic base is split among labor and, civil rights folks and feminists. And what I was really struck by, first of all, I don't know anybody who thought there'd be 300,000 to 400,000 people out there. Nobody was talking those kinds of numbers. So that there's that. But I was really struck by the work that they were able to do.
And I should say, by the way, to that point, because I didn't mention it yesterday in our coverage, in that same event with Sanders that I moderated on Saturday night, the night prior to the march, Bill McKibben, the environmentalist, one of the lead organizers of the whole thing, was so proud sitting up there saying there may be 200,000 people there.
Right.
And then it turned out, by all estimates, that there were 300,000. So even they, the most,
most optimistic people with their finger on the pulse of organizing had no idea that was going to happen. So that's big. And I also think the fact that you could get labor, huge labor contingent there, that the environmental movement has done not a perfect job, but has made real strides in realizing that sometimes they talk about these things as though they're kind of, NIMBY issues for rich white people, and that they've taken on the issues of environmental justice and, the people who are still Hurricane Sandy refugees in the Rockaways. There was a real there's been a lot of work done, and I think it paid off in a lot of ways to sort of merge people's issues, not submerge differences, but to get a broader group of people than your normal hippie, crunchy white people
and
marching in the streets.
President Obama is scheduled to address the climate summit at a little before 1 o'clock this afternoon. Our lead segment tomorrow will be looking at what, if anything, today's climate summit might accomplish. John Stanton, BuzzFeed DC bureau chief, Joan Walsh, Salon editor at large and an MSNBC contributor. Thank you both very much for joining us today, both on the international stuff and the domestic politics. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. It's a pleasure.